Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, hello. Hi, guys. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome, welcome. Today is a little bit of a goofy day. I mean, it's a goofy day, but it's a day that we're discussing really, really important stuff. So I did have an interview scheduled for this week. Unfortunately, that had to be canceled last minute. So I gave a call to my best friend, Danielle, Danny, who has been interviewed on this podcast before. She's the one who, I don't know, remember the podcast episode, but with the watering eyes that wouldn't go away. That was actually a very significant problem in her life. And so I called her, though, to come back on the show for a couple reasons. First of all, because she's coming to Omega this year, and she's going to bring her musical talent and her beautiful energy. And so we wanted to talk a little bit about that. But I also was reflecting on the fact that over these 5 years, since the time that she did the journal speak work for her eyes, she's had a lot of different symptoms and she's gotten rid of every single one of them with journal speak. And I was like, damn, Danny, you're actually like an incredible success story. Let's talk about it. And so we jumped on an interview, and obviously this is someone I know very well, so it can be a little bit silly and maybe not as professional as I usually am. So buttoned up, I never swear. So it's a little bit of fun, but I really enjoyed talking to Danny on the podcast, thinking about her history, her experiences. She's had a lot of childhood trauma, so that is part of the reason that she carries so much of her overflow of energy and emotion in her body. But now that she knows what to do with it, it's not a problem. And that's how I feel about my life, and that's what I really hope to give to all of you guys. And Danny also identifies as a highly sensitive person, and that is a huge reason that we have a lot of big feelings, because if you're so sensitive to everything that goes on in the world, you're obviously going to have to integrate a lot of those feelings. So we talk about all of it. It was such a great, fun conversation. And then, of course, we get into what we're going to do together for all of you guys who come to Omega, and we get to talk about that too. So I really enjoyed it. If you guys want more information on my Omega retreat, which is going to be August 1st through the 6th at the Omega Institute for Holistic Studies in Rhinebeck, New York, go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, and click on the retreats tab. It is very exciting and it is very soon. And if indeed you need help with any of my work, click on the resources tab. There's frequently asked questions. There's a how to journal speak page now. We've updated the website and I'm really proud of it. So go utilize the many, many free resources that I have. And of course, if you want to dive deeper in my work, either my chronic pain work or my anxiety work, there are two online courses, Freedom from Chronic Pain and Freedom from an Anxious Life, both of which I hear over and over again are tremendous game changers for people. So that's that. And so without further ado, I give you my sort of goofy, silly self, but also sort of serious, because this stuff is very serious and very dear to me, and my lovely friend, Danny. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Today, I have my very best friend, Danny, to join us. Hello, Danny.
Hello, Nicole, and hello, everybody.
Danny is a veteran of the podcast. Those of you who haven't heard her episode, you know, of course, I'm unprepared and I don't know the number, but it's something about what was it? She had eyes, like crying eyes, watering eyes with Danny.
Happy eyes.
My God, yep. You guys are really seeing behind the curtain. This is the way I handle an interview when I am interviewing my friend and I don't prepare. It's totally cool. It's totally,
totally
cool.
All good. Mm-hmm.
It is a summer day in the Northeast. Yeah. It was my car registered at 100 degrees today. And according to the weather app, it felt like 110. So I am legitimately loopy. I feel mentally unstable that it's been so hot all day.
It's going to be great.
Great. Okay. Okay. So we're here for a couple reasons. So in full disclosure, I did have an interview scheduled for this week. And unfortunately, her mother had to go into emergency surgery. So she had to cancel last minute. So I called Danny and I was like, listen, Dan, let's jump on the podcast for several reasons. So this is not just a fluffy podcast to hear me mess around with my friend and act mentally unstable. This is truly a real person that is fully full on doing my work. It began with this watering eye situation that sounds like that's not a big deal, but it was a very big deal.
Yes, it
moved on to a lot of other things that Danielle was able to manage with her journal speak. And so I kind of said, like, let's get on and talk about this, because also Danny is coming to Omega with us. She is a composer for documentary film. She is a pianist. She is an amazing musician and artist. And she's coming to share our time with us at Omega. So we're going to talk about that too. But Danny, what I want to start to do here, because not everybody who listens to this has listened to the archive of archives, because you and I probably did this podcast within the first like 30 episodes of the podcast, way back.
Way back.
So can you just kind of summarize for people what happened with the eyes and why it was so traumatic, and then how Journal Speak really turned it around?
Sure. Absolutely. My pleasure. So I was it was in the fall. I remember it was around October, and I started experiencing my eyes tearing, and it wasn't just that they were watery. It was like, it was just this constant tearing. It was almost like they were weeping and not stopping. And I thought, you know, at first I thought, oh, this must be allergies or what's going on. And
makes sense.
It makes sense. And then like after a few days, it was relentless and it was really annoying and it was hindering my vision, you know, when I was driving. And then it started getting irritated. And I, you know, when I woke up in the morning, my, you know, they were kind of like sealed shut a little bit. And it was just this constant crying. And I'm also very vain, you know, so I you know, makeup was an issue.
Well, but this is actually what you're saying is very important, because I don't think you're vain. You know, what I talk about a lot on my Instagram and a lot in all of my communities is childhood trauma.
Yes.
And so I don't think you're vain. I think you had your share of childhood trauma, and that led you to feel more comfortable if you're wearing makeup and if you look a certain way.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Yes. So it was needless to say, it was really bothering me after about a week. So I decided to go to an allergy doctor. So I went to an allergy doctor and they couldn't really explain it. So they tested me for a few things and, you know, found out, you know, okay, I'm allergic to cats, but you know, nothing major. And so I started taking allergy medication, still no relief with the eyes. So then I went to an eye doctor and they couldn't figure out what was going on. So this is now like weeks are, you know, passing along and I have no relief and I'm just getting more frustrated and more frustrated. So then I went to my general doctor and of course, Google, you know, WebMD, I'm like, watering eyes, what could be the causes of this? And I saw something relating to thyroid, and I had recently been diagnosed with Hashimoto's. So I thought, you know, is there a link here? And the doctor's like, no. And so they gave me some drops. So now I'm on allergy medication. I've got drops. I've seen now three doctors, and now we're going on to like 6 weeks at this point.
Yeah.
So it was really upsetting and baffling, really. I just couldn't figure it out. So I had a trip planned to Los Angeles because, as Nicole mentioned, I am a composer, you know, for film. And so I went out there to do a project and I thought, great, it's gotta be Delaware. Okay. Delaware's gotta be the reason.
Danny and I are both transplants to Delaware. She's from Boston and I'm from New York. And this is not to say that Delaware isn't a fantastic place to live, because honestly, we both really love it. But it is hilarious that she's like, it's Delaware.
It's Delaware. It has to be. I mean, I tried everything else, you know, so I was psyched. I was like, all right, I'm going all the way to California, you know, different fauna, you know, different flora, different everything. Like I'm gonna get relief because this has got to be it. Well, when I got to California, it only got worse. And now I'm in California and I'm wanting to see friends and I'm wanting to network. And I felt really, really, you know, held back because of my eyes, because they just looked like a wreck. And it was annoying, quite frankly. And it was also while I was working, like the tears were dripping down on the keyboard. It just was not, it was not good. It was not good. So I started to become desperate. I started to become desperate. I even in California went to a witch doctor.
Well,
I went
that was the ultimate move, right?
to That was the ultimate move. I went to the witch doctor. And you know, she did have a lot of very, you know, true and very powerful, you know, things to say. And something about the eyes was that she said, your body's crying for
Crying for
you.
you.
Your body's crying for you. Your body's actually doing what you can't do or won't do for yourself. And I went home that night, and that's when you and I had, you
We
know, we
were,
were texting or talking. And I had read your book. I had read your first book already. Like when we first met, I read it like in 2 days. And I thought, you know, wow, I really, you know, this resonates with me. I bet, you know, I can totally see how this works, but I didn't even think to try it
Well, that's
for
most
my
people
eyes.
don't. Most people think physical symptoms are so only related to the physical body that this doesn't occur to them till they are quite desperate.
Exactly. I mean, it didn't occur to me at all. And you, I will never forget it. You said, "May I gently suggest?" And that's exactly how you said it. "May I gently suggest that you try my work, that you try Journal Speak." And I thought, "Oh, okay." And I did. And I mean, at this point, I would try anything, but I thought, how come I never thought of that? So it really was a game changer, just you saying that to me. And I sat down and, you know, you kind of like guided me in the beginning of how to start and what to do. And really, I did it first thing in the morning. And at first I set a timer for 20 minutes, but after like day two, I didn't need that timer because I was going. Like I was off and running. And there was something about giving myself the permission to be angry. Most of it was rage. I had a lot of rage and I was so ashamed of what I was angry about. And it was all tied up in there. And just giving myself the permission to let it rip, and I let it rip. And I did this for at least 2 weeks straight. All I know is that within that 2 week period, my eyes stopped tearing and they never teared
They never
again.
teared again.
Again,
I love
again,
it.
ever, 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 ever. So, I became a believer. I mean, like a true believer, tried and tested. You know, I did this. It was so powerful. It was so cathartic. It was so liberating. What ended up happening was that after I maybe it even happened on the first day, but early on, I started really crying. I really started crying, and I was like guttural, like really, and raging and swearing and, you know, being just brutally honest, and then just destroying those pages at the end of each day. So yes, that is initially how this began. So because of my experience, I continued doing it. And I definitely, you know, the challenge that I find is when I feel good, I
You don't
don't
want to do
always
it.
do it, right?
Same. By the way, same.
Yes.
Who the hell wants to do it when you're feeling well? And I will tell you that I think that I want to give everyone out there like a big hug and say, don't shame yourself ever, please, because none I am the guru of this shit and I avoid it like the plague. I avoid it. I will do anything not to journal speak, but I know when I start getting those symptoms tapping at my door, and I know that they're gonna start to fire because it has nothing to do with how much you know. It has to do with brain science. And if your emotional world is too big for your heart to hold, your body will take the extra. And that's what happens. And so, anyway, go on, Dani.
Yeah, no, true. And so what happens and what has happened over the years since, because I think this was in 2016, if I'm not mistaken, it was 5 years ago that I had my first experience with journal speak. So over the 5 years, I have used this as a tool, especially when other symptoms, you know, because it's not the eyes anymore, but other weird things.
Like, and why don't you list some of your other weird things? Because one of the things I get a lot is people writing to me and saying, oh yeah, I heard you talk on the podcast about headaches, but I have blank. Or I heard you talk about pelvic pain, but I have. What I often tell people is the way the symptom manifests in your body is immaterial. Mm-hmm. It's just whatever your body's picking at the time that is the thing that your nervous system hopes you will believe, because if you'll believe it enough, then that symptom is able to protect you for a longer period of time, which is so silly and so confused by your gentle, loving nervous system, but that's what's going on. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things you've had, Dani, that you've been able to recover from with journal speak?
Yes. Hives. Okay. Hives in certain places, again, went to doctors.
Of course. And it's totally normal.
Took allergy pills, you know, did the whole thing. And, you know, so hives, UTIs, I have to say. Now, with UTIs, you do need medication to a certain degree, but I notice that when I get them, I am stressed in a certain way and I have more emotions and more things that I could digest. And it's like when they have appeared, which I haven't gotten one in a while, thank you, God. But while I was in the journal speak process and they appeared, I knew exactly why.
You know, and let me tell you something else about recurrent UTIs, because this is something I see a lot in this world. Mm-hmm. Yes, you'll get your first UTI and you do need to take antibiotics for a UTI. Yeah. However, I have many people that have reported getting the symptoms of UTIs. And when they finally go to the doctor, there's no bacteria present because it will mimic. It will mimic. So anyway, it's helpful in that sense as well.
Yes. And I totally believe that. And I'm sure that has happened to me. I haven't always gone to the doctor and it's gone away, you know? Yeah. So, with the journaling, because I know that it's stress. So that has popped up, over Christmas this year. I had so many different intense emotions. Now it's the holidays, so they're usually stressful for people. And I don't really have a particularly stressful life. I don't have any children. My life is pretty calm. And I thought, oh, Christmas, no big deal. Like I have a pretty easy life. Well, guess what? Christmas brings up, the holidays bring up a whole bunch of stuff from the past. My father, died and his birthday's Christmas Eve and there was family coming in. It was like all these things.
Yeah.
And I was stressing myself out to try to be perfect at, hosting a certain get together with family members. I mean, I was really making myself crazy and I was grieving. I had all this stuff. And I woke up a day or two after Christmas with the most bizarre rash on my back. And it looked like the chicken pox, but it was not the chicken pox. And it was itchier than you can imagine. And it was really just gnarly looking. And again, I was not surprised. I was not surprised that I broke out in that kind of rash, that it was so itchy. And so of course I started to do it, to treat it with the journaling, and that helped a lot because nothing else did.
I actually remember this rash now. I had forgotten about this. You were really upset about that because it was killing you.
It was killing me. It was so itchy. I couldn't really find anything that helped it very much. I did end up going to the doctor. They did not know what the hell it was. So they couldn't tell me, oh, it's this, it's this, it's this. They were like, I don't know what that is. But I did.
Right.
I did. It was just obvious, So that was a big one. Lately, I've had a lot of waves of nausea that I can't really explain. And I know when it comes on is when particularly I'm overwhelmed. That is the emotion that what I seem to have when I am getting the nausea as TMS, or like I'm under pressure, like
yes.
mostly with work, and I'm overwhelmed, and I get these waves of nausea, and they flatten me. It's like I'm forced to just lie down and, you know, slow down. And I'm like, duh, like I haven't been journaling. I haven't been, you know, so it's like, of course this stuff is coming up. So there's been that. I've had bizarre, like nerve, so really sharp tinges, like of pain in like my gum or tooth.
Uh-huh.
That once again,
I've had tooth stuff. Yep.
Where it's like this electric shock that will come. And I'm like, oh, I must, you know, need something like a root canal or whatever. Once again, I go into the dentist. They can't find a damn thing wrong. Right. And it went away. And it just went away because I started doing the work again. You know, so it's a constant reminder, you know, that this is what happens. It makes perfect sense to me. So like when the TMS appears in whatever form it appears, at least it's like, I know I'll get there eventually. Like sometimes I'll go to the doctor, go to the dentist, whatever. But I'm like, oh yeah. Okay.
And honestly, I think that's important. I have always from day one said, I am not against the medical model. I am mm-hmm. not against doctors or dentists. I go to them mm-hmm. myself. I take my children to them. I get vaccinated. Yeah. I'm all about taking care of your body as holistically, meaning the whole thing as possible. But before I do anything invasive or, you know, uncomfortable or mm-hmm. that's going to leave a mark, I will always go back to my journal speak and see if mm-hmm. that is what's going on. And literally 99.9%, if not 100% of the time, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
But your myriad of symptoms are making me mm-hmm. think that I want to have a little conversation about childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. And is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay. So Danny and I have sort of similar childhood trauma, but hers is like 1,000 times worse. And I say that with great respect because she's so fucking healthy and like Aww. She really is. Well, you are, but you've worked really hard at it. But she had, I mean, we don't have enough time on the podcast to tell you her story, even though mm-hmm. one day maybe we should because it's like a very interesting story. Yes. But we both had alcoholic fathers who died young. And I do mm-hmm. believe that, you know, they're pulling the strings a little bit up there to have us have these beautiful lives that we have.
Yeah.
But the reason I want to talk about childhood trauma, when I hear about your laundry list of symptoms, and I know there's other little weirdnesses, is that when you are living in a mm-hmm. hyper-vigilant, always wondering what is going to happen around the corner kind of childhood, where left, right, and center things are being moved around or taken from you or shifted or you're mm-hmm. moving or you're changing your mm-hmm. life or the people mm-hmm. that are taking care of you are changing. You mm-hmm. know, when that happens on the reg in mm-hmm. a childhood, I just think it leaves our nervous system on a hair trigger mm-hmm. as adults.
Yeah.
And so when I hear about your symptoms, I feel like I sometimes use the metaphor of a pinball machine. Mm-hmm. It's like you pull back the pinball and it's going to go boom, 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 like over mm-hmm. wherever in your body. And so what a gift to mm-hmm. be able to know that there's one solution for all of it.
Yeah, it is such a gift. I mean, it's been such a game changer. And I tell everybody about it. I'm really annoying. Like everybody I come across that's in pain or had some weird thing, I tell them about you. I direct them to your website and I'm like, I did it. And I tell them my story because I want everybody to get relief, you know? And it's so simple. I mean, it takes courage. It just takes belief. It takes courage to believe.
Right.
Maybe that's it. Like, let me believe that, let me just try, like contempt prior to investigation, right? Like not just to sit down and actually just try and see what happens. And it's amazing, like the resistance that I see, like, oh, like that, this can't work or it's too simple or whatever it is, but it's not, you know, just try it. Just try it.
And, you know, anyone out there who is a person who identifies as being a survivor of childhood trauma, that could be capital T trauma, or that could be the death by 1,000 paper cuts, lower T trauma, whatever it is, just realize that you don't have to be so afraid. You know, if mm-hmm. I listen to all of Danielle's symptoms, I might mm-hmm. feel afraid for her. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. First it's hives, then it's this, then it's that. Then you feel nauseous. Mm-hmm. Then you're weak and dizzy. Then you're, you know, like whatever it is that's happening. And it's like, mm-hmm. no, there's not, you don't have to be afraid when you realize, oh, I see. Duh. Yeah. Duh. Right.
Yeah. Cause most of the time I feel great. And so when I do feel less than great, I notice yes. a lot, you know, it's like my new normal is feeling really, really good. And I'm, you know, thank God for that. And yes, I've done a lot to take care of myself in that way. And I have rituals, you know, I have things. I mean, in the beginning of the pandemic, I have to say that, you know, in the beginning of quarantine is when I really went deeper with the journal speak, and you helped me with that. And it was just by telling me, focus on whatever is in conflict.
Yes.
And in the past, from the past, from today, and your personality. And that really unlocked a much deeper, you know, work for me, was just making a list of the things that were in conflict.
So can you say more about that? Because I think that's helpful for people.
So, anything that's conflicting, anything like in my day-to-day life, like, I had this, you know, conversation that's left me feeling icky, or like I feel like I shouldn't have said something I said, or it could be something just that just happened, you know, that's like a conflict in your daily life, like something just that doesn't, it's not sitting right.
Yeah.
Or it could be something deeper in my personality, like obsessed with, you know, body image, or I hate my, you know, I don't know, whatever, nose. Okay. Like it's just whatever it is. Like,
do you hate your nose?
No, I don't hate.
I hate my nose.
No,
I do. On. No, I hate That's it. Silly. Just being honest. All right. Well, I don't like don't, it. Don't so you can like it nose. All you want. Go yes, on.
I do love it. But you know, when I see that's a conflict. See that could be something that you can speak about.
I exactly. Could, yeah.
Right. And then I can, you know, go deeper and look at my childhood and look at the things that I'm remembering that are negative, or, you know, shame. You know, shame is a big one. Things that I feel ashamed about. Things that I'm guilty of not doing or doing through my life. Past relationships that I feel like I should have done this or should have done that. So those are just some examples of things that are conflict.
Yeah.
Anything that doesn't feel good, anything that doesn't feel like peaceful.
Settled.
Yes. Yeah. Is in conflict. And so that helped me because it prompted and it opened up the door for some deeper stuff. And in the beginning of the pandemic, I was doing this because I felt terrible. I don't know if I got COVID. I'll never know why, what happened, but I, like I said, I do have an autoimmune disease. I have Hashimoto's, and it was kept at bay for a while. And then in the beginning of quarantine, like all the symptoms just started raging. Now, of course,
any autoimmune disease is exacerbated by stress.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So there was that. My numbers even went up, like everything. And so I was feeling god awful. And I started doing I was doing this work like my life depended on it because it did. And it was the what you said about conflict that really helped me go deep. And, you know, every day I did the journal speak and it helped me tremendously. And there were some other things I started doing, like cold showers and
walks she's doing outside. Wim Hof.
Every morning for a little over a year, I've been taking cold showers for 5 minutes. And that's just something that I do for me every day. It's a hard thing that gives me so many wonderful, amazing rewards. And, you know, so that along with the journaling, along with the daily walks outside. So there's things I do. And also, you know, to touch on music, because I think that there's a similarity, like there's a connection in moving the energy like out.
Yes.
You know, like having an outlet. And I did, you know, I was born extremely, I'm very sensitive, very, 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 very sensitive. And as a child, I was extremely sensitive and I didn't even understand, you know, what that even meant. But I always, music was my first language. Piano was my first language. I just understood it immediately. I understood the keys. It was like, you know, like a past life thing. Like I just understood that language. And my father was a pianist. He put me on his lap. I just had to be as close to it as possible. And I was in diapers before I had words. I was playing the piano. And I look back and I think that saved me, you know, like being so sensitive and absorbing everything that was going on, but having an outlet, having a way to move that out of my body. So I've used music, you know, like I'll sit down and you know, touch the piano, put my hands and just let things move through. So that's also kind of part of my practice also, as well as it's my work. It's everything, but I mean, to move that energy through.
I love that analogy because you're right. If we start with the end in mind, the whole point is we're moving energy. Yeah. We're moving, you know, in journal speak, we're moving that emotional energy, that grief and shame and fear and rage. We're moving it from the subconscious to the conscious. So our nervous system knows that it's safe to feel. So it no longer triggers us into fight or flight by the need to repress our feelings. Mm-hmm. And with music, we're moving that energy either from the keyboard to our hearts and out or as we sing. Yes. And so actually that is a very nice bridge to our next topic. Unless do you have anything else to say about journal speak before we move into our music conversation?
Only that it's actually my singing voice has improved tremendously over the years that I've been doing this. I mean, like really –
You have a beautiful singing voice. I never remember Thank it not you. Being nice, but maybe I wasn't paying attention.
Well, I wouldn't let it really out.
Right. You know, that
there
makes sense.
There was so much weighing, like
suppression.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. And when I started really telling the truth and when I started really like getting a lot of this stuff out, my voice became louder. It became clearer. It became deeper. It became like more conviction.
Yeah. Awesome.
And it continues to get that way. So yeah, that's all I wanted to add to that little bit.
Love that. And you know what's also awesome about the whole journal speak thing as it relates to Wim Hof and all the other healing modalities that are out there? I don't think that journal speak is the answer for every problem in your life.
Right.
But it is an answer that is a doorway to so much more. Because when you start feeling connected and integrated with yourself and your pain and your symptoms fall away, so you're not constantly being blinded by them, because we all know without your health, you have nothing. And so if you're ill in any way, even if it's just watering eyes and you're not like feverish or you're not in pain, it's enough to block you from everything.
Oh, it did.
And so when you are able to have that freedom and that flow between you and you, then it opens you up to like, what else do I want to do to feel great?
Exactly.
Which is awesome.
Right. And that's what happened. So there you go. Hence the cold showers.
Yes. Yes. Boom. I'm still wanting to do them and not doing them, but
okay.
That's all right.
I'm
in my process.
That's right.
I am.
And you can just do like a quick flash of the cold, like even just for 5 seconds, just get yourself.
All right. You're motivating me. You're motivating me. And especially because it's summer. So
You'll get hooked. You love the adrenaline. You'll get hooked.
I know. I like getting hot. I want to get high on anything. So fine. Showers, fine.
Done.
Okay, so moving on to the music stuff, because I do want to talk about this. So anyway, Danielle, as I said, I've watched her perform many, many times. I love going to see her play. And when she plays, especially at our local sort of restaurants or country clubs or bars or wherever she plays, she often covers – she has her own music as well, but she often covers songs that remind me of my childhood and of my teenage-dom because they're just sing-along songs that make me feel so good.
Yeah.
And so when I was thinking about Omega this year, I was remembering that when I went to summer camp when I was a little girl, we had this thing called Sing. And it was actually the way we started every single day at camp, which was we would go to breakfast and we'd go – the entire camp would empty from the dining hall and go right into the rec hall for Sing. And the entire camp, which was like hundreds of people, would just sit in these benches and then a musician either on a piano or a guitar, some kid, you know, who could play, would go up in the front of the room and they would project the lyrics of a song, usually a folk song or a camp song or something by like Crosby, Stills and Nash or James Taylor, something that was something that people were mostly familiar with. And the person would play their instrument and sing, and the entire camp would just freaking sing at the top of our lungs all together. And the energy in the room made you want to weep because it was just so beautiful and so much. It's heaven
for me.
And so, and I know that there have been a couple situations, some of which that I've been at, but some of which I've heard about, like that time where you and Joyce with the piano and the
The lobby of the hotel.
So there are times that I have so bummed out I missed. There's one time where Danny was in the hotel lobby and she got on the piano and she had hundreds of people singing Piano Man or something
it's
like
the best.
That.
Yes. Yeah. And many more.
So I am so excited that Danielle is free between August 1st through the 6th. And she is joining us at the Omega Institute. She's going to bring her piano and her speakers and we're going to set her up. And every day we are going to have sing.
Sing. Yes. Sing. I'm so excited. It's going to be the best.
It's going to be great. So one thing we're doing this week. So this week is Danny's birthday. Happy early birthday, Danny.
Thank you.
And this week we're getting together because we always spend our birthdays together. And we are going to decide on the set list. So – and it's only a preliminary meeting, so the set list will not be completely decided on for another couple weeks. And so we were thinking – will you tell them, Danny?
What we were thinking about – allowing
them to have a input.
Yes, we take requests. So we would love to hear from you on if you are coming to Omega, or even if you're not, like what are some of your favorite feel-good sing-along songs? You know, so that would be great. It would be a great help. And, especially if you are coming to Omega, like what do you
want to hear?
Yeah, what do you want to sing? Because you're going to be singing.
Yeah. Exactly. Like so some examples that I was thinking or like things like Billy Joel, James Taylor,
Take Me Home, Country Roads.
What other examples can you give to people so they know the kind of songs we're thinking about?
You know what I was thinking about? Well, it's just because we just went to the concert and had the best time of our lives was Closer to Fine.
Oh, the Indigo Girls.
Yes. We had time ever. Nicole and I were just they put us on the big screen of us dancing.
Let's paint the picture here. Cause like why not? We're just hanging out.
Let's do it.
We went to this concert. It was at something called the Freeman Stage, which is really close to where we live. And it was an outdoor venue. So there was no stress about COVID or anything like that. And so we're in this massive place full of people and nobody's been to live music or anything like this in a year and a half. Yep. And they get on stage and I look around and nobody is standing up. Not one person in the entire venue. And because it's spread out and it's grass and everything, it's not like if you stood up, you're going to be blocking anyone's vision.
Yeah.
It's like, so I just said, fuck this. I'm dancing.
To everything. To every song. We were raging to like the sad,
slowest
song to Ghost. We were like headbanging and dancing.
You guys don't understand. Song. We were so relentless. We were like, we're going to freaking dance and sing at the top of our lungs. So much so that forever, should we ever meet the Indigo Girls? But I will tell you, the Indigo Girls know who we are because we are in a place of hundreds and hundreds of people. And there are two people standing in the entire venue.
So much so that they put us on the big screen.
They put us on the big screen.
They singled us out. And Nicole and I, like over the past 2 weeks, have like run into people and be like, I saw you.
Yes.
I saw you dancing. But I mean, we just had the time of our lives. So like one of their last songs was Closer to Fine. And that's one everyone knows. And, you know, Nicole dragged me and we rushed the stage.
We rushed the stage.
As close as we could get. And then everybody followed. So like you started that. You started that little
mosh pit. I tend
to
start things.
Very civilized mosh pit of women.
A civilized middle-aged women mosh
pit. Feminine. Yes, exactly.
Ladies.
Respectful.
But, you know, listen, here's the thing. Life is to be enjoyed.
Yes.
I think we forget that too often. Life is to be enjoyed. You know, come on, man. We're here to have fun. We got to be here to have fun.
Totally
So part of my idea about sing was to express our energy and to sing with our voices raised in unison and all that awesome stuff. But part of it was honestly, let's have some freaking fun.
Yeah.
Like, I know the retreat is called The Cure for Chronic Pain or Freedom from Chronic Pain, but it's also about embracing life and just being in the moment and being present and being so right there and connecting with other people. So I cannot wait.
Me too. I'm psyched.
All right, my friends. So, Danny, thank you so much for coming on last minute.
My pleasure. That's what friends are for. Maybe we should add that.
Yeah,
to the
we
list.
Can maybe sing that. All right. All right, guys. Well, if you guys have any, if you're coming to Omega, certainly please write me an email at thecureforchronicpain@gmail.com. That's the best one to write me with this kind of stuff. thecureforchronicpain@gmail.com. And put in your subject line, because I do get a lot of emails, song ideas or song requests, something with the word song. And Danny and I will take a look at your list. And like she said, even if you're not coming to Omega, but you have some good ideas for us, we will take them.
Yeah, please.
We'll take them. Mm-hmm. And so reach out to us. And and if you are coming to Omega, you will get to see us being this kind of foolish fools together live and in person.
Yes. So excited to meet all of you.
Yeah. It's going to be so great. All right. Okay. I send you guys lots of love. If you're enjoying this podcast, please do me the great favor of hopping over to iTunes and rating and reviewing it. It really helps other people find the podcast. Mm-hmm. Danny, thank you again for being here.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for changing my life.
Oh, sure. No worries. Anytime.
No big deal.
No big deal. Whatever.
Like low key.
Yeah.
You know, save my life.
All right.
Love
All
you.
Right. I love you too. All right, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. This has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with me, Nicole Sachs. I will see you again next week. Bye-bye.